How's this, Chris? All right, guys. If y'all would turn with me to James chapter 3. Tell you guys the truth, I thought got this preaching thing out of the way when Rory was in Africa. But to my surprise, he asked me to do it again. Of course, my last message was Rory's, and I just kind of summarized it for you guys, but this one's mine. When I was trying to come up with a sermon, I was like, well, I was preaching on Sunday night, and this is the core of the church. I mean, you guys are the hardcore in our church. And I was trying to come up with something that I really felt like that would help us as a congregation, and I was originally going to preach on the four types of love, and the Spirit led me in a totally different direction. So tonight we're preaching about the tongue, and we'll see where that leads us. It's James chapter 3, and our scripture reading, we're going to start in verse 2, and we're going to go through 12. If y'all would follow along with me. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into horses' mouths, they will obey us. We direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members, and is that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you guide this service tonight, Lord. I pray that we can glean your scriptures, Father, and we can learn how to act appropriately, Lord, how we can learn the power of the tongue, Lord. We can learn how it can destroy others, Lord. We can learn how it can also build up. And Father, I just pray as a congregation that we can control this. And Father, we just ask for your blessing upon this congregation, Lord. I pray, Father, that you give them ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord. And Father, that your will be done. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a lot of us probably remember being kids. And, you know, you probably remember this little phrase. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Or how about the one, I'm rubber and you're glue. What you say to me bounces off me and sticks to you. Well, we find out in God's word is that's not true. Words can do one of two things. Words can either build someone up or they can tear someone down. And that's kind of where we're going tonight. I'm going to read this right here. It says, what we find out while reading God's word is this is false. You see, friends, God cares about the words that come out of our mouths. and how we use our words impacts how we show the love of Christ and how we don't show that love. And so the first part, you guys that do outlines, I'm going to call it the attack. We go to Proverbs 18:21, and it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And bear with me, we got a lot of scriptures to bounce around in here. Matthew 12:34b says, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Psalms 34:13 says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." Proverbs 10:18-19 says, "He who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable." Proverbs 11:9, "With his mouth the godless man destroys his neighbor." Proverbs 11:13 says, "He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets." Proverbs 15:4 says, "A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perversion in it crushes the spirit." Proverbs 16:28 says, "A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who conceals a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends." Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body." Ephesians 4:29 says, the first part says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth." James 1:26, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." James 4:11 says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it." I think many of us can probably relate to being on the brunt end of an attack of someone's tongue. I mean, we probably can remember that from when we were just kids. Many of us probably can relate to the fact that some of the words we've said have really hurt someone. I mean, it says it can divide intimate friends. A lot of times you'll hear these people say something negative about you. "Oh, I'm just kidding." But that "I'm just kidding" really probably doesn't cover up the fact that what just came out of their mouth before that. So this is words of warning that we get from God about our words and the power of them. As a church, we need to be loving and lifting each other up. And I'm not saying everybody in here is talking about everybody else or anything like that, but I'm just saying be careful in what we're doing, because it can keep us from worshiping as one in one accord, okay? My next outline is called the actions of the righteous. Ephesians 4:25-32, it's pretty big. It says, "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We find other scriptures that talks about how we should act. In Psalms 15:2-3, and the title of this psalm is the description of a citizen of Zion, said, "He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart, he does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against a friend." So this is how we should be acting, okay? Still find more in Proverbs. Proverbs 10:19 says, "But he who restrains his lips is wise." Proverbs 10:20, "The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver." Proverbs 10:21, "The lips of the righteous feed many." The second half of Proverbs 11:13, which we read earlier, is, "But he who conceals the matter is trustworthy." "But he who is trustworthy conceals a matter." He doesn't repeat it. He doesn't, "Ooh, I know a secret and I can go tell it." Okay? He keeps it to himself. Okay, the next outline I have is called "Avoid Quenching the Spirit." And this is where where we need to come to. It says 1 Thessalonians 5:11-18. Therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another, we urge you, brethren. Admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit." And this is where we can quench the Spirit, is if we have a little backbiting, or we're gossiping, or we're talking kind of bad about someone. And we certainly don't want to quench the Spirit of God so that we can worship in one accord. Another outline, achieve unity. In Psalms 133:1, in the title of this Psalms, is "The Excellence of Brotherly Love." "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." In Romans 15:5-6, entitled "Self-Denial on Behalf of Others," said, "Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, it's going to take a little bit of sacrifice on our part. to deny ourselves and think of others. It's kind of hard for me to do. I don't know about you guys, but it's real easy to be selfish and not think of someone else. Hebrews 12:15, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification which, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many are defiled. So we kind of got to have a little bit of church discipline if somebody kind of steps out of line. I think our church has been active in that at times. Philippians 2:1-4, and the title of it's Be Like Christ, says, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard on another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And here again, we're putting ourselves last. We're putting others' interest first. In Colossians 3:12-14, which is put on the new self, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. So there's kind of the answer right there. If we want to worship in one accord and have unity in our church, we need to be full of love, the love of Christ. Forgiving one another. That's a tough one sometimes, you know. I mean, people, they can hurt you, and it's easy to hold on to something like that. But remember, we were forgiven. While we were God's enemies, He loved us and died for us. And so this is a call for us to do the same. Jesus' prayer right before His betrayal and arrest, John 17:11, I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. We need to be one together, worshiping God. He also, a little bit later on in the same prayer, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their words. So we're talking about the future. He's talking about us that would come to know Christ through the preaching of these disciples, and on and on and on. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their words, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. You see, if we're doing a lot of infighting or fussing, even when we're not in this building, we're out in the grocery store, fussing about somebody, we're not one. And we need to be careful what we're doing. Jesus knew this. I mean, he knew how important it would be for us to be unified in spirit. So that's just my ask that we kind of focus on that. My next bullet point is appeal to believers. Romans 12, 1 through 5. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And so, if we're talking about someone, it's like you're poking yourself in the eye, or you're stomping your toe or something. These are all your brothers and sisters, and we're all the body of Christ. This is what we need to be focused on. This is how we need to be thinking and doing. And if you'll notice in this, it says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. And that's kind of the problem we get into, isn't it? I mean, I'm a little better than somebody. And in our Sunday school class this morning, we talked about the lady who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped his feet with her hair, dried them with her hair, and anointed his feet with perfume. And the Pharisees sitting there going, ha, if he just knew this lady was a sinner. And we kind of talked about that, pointing one finger that way, there's three fingers pointing back to you, but he just couldn't see he was a sinner. We need to be careful, and we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We all fall short, and only by the grace of God are we saved. And so we need to kind of think about that. We shouldn't esteem ourselves more highly, because we all know when we come to Christ, we can only come worthless, filthy rags of righteousness, and thankful for a Savior. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? And that's just my call tonight, is just examine yourself. Now, I know I'm guilty of sharp tongue. I'm quick sometimes with temper. And I have to ask God to forgive me of that, and I have to repent of that. I'll just ask you guys to examine yourselves. 2 Corinthians 13:11 through 14. Finally, brethren, rejoice, be made complete, be comforted, be like-minded, live in peace, and the love of God and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Well, this is what my prayer is for you guys, you know, as the church. Let's be like-minded. You know, let's be kind. Let's live in peace with one another. But finally, I will say this as my last bullet point, is there is an account. You have to give an accounting for your words. And a lot of times we read this Bible and we can skip over some of these things and go, this is Jesus' words. Matthew 12:36 through 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." That's serious, and that's sobering, isn't it? I mean, we can't think about what we said probably last week, maybe even this afternoon. We're going to give an account for every word we've ever spoke in our entire life. It's written in a, it's chronicled in a book, and it'll be read before, we'll have to give an account. You see, the church, the words we speak could be hindering us from achieving unity that could grieve the Holy Spirit. Let us be a sacrificing church and putting others before ourselves. Let us be edifying and building up the saints and not tearing them down. The question I have for you, church, is what will it be? Words of life or words of death out of your mouths? Let's pray for clean mouths and unity of the body in service of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your words, Father. We know these words are truth, and we know these words are from you, Father. We can glean more scriptures, Father, about the tongue and the power of it, Lord. Lord, we know your tongue was so powerful it could speak this world into existence, Lord. You said, "Let it be," and it was. And Lord, our words have power. Power of life and death, Lord. And Father, I lift this church up to you. I lift all of us up to you, Father. And I pray that our words will be words of life, that we would be edifying, that we would be loving. We would fill our hearts with love. Father, we would fill our hearts with your Holy Scripture, that what comes out of our heart is your holy words and not words that defile us, not words that deceive others, Lord, but words of life, words of encouragement, words that lift one another up. Lord, we seek your face, Lord. Father, we want to worship you. We want to worship you in truth, Father. Lord, we know you're on your throne, and we pray that you be glorified every day, Lord. But Father, most of all, we pray you help us control what's in our heart and what we speak. Let us think first before we act. Let us put others first, Father. And Father, we ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.